will be a rosary for the unborn following back at the church at 3:30. All are welcome. Next weekend, we will have a truck from St. Vincent de Paul in our parking lot to accept your clothing donations. The second collection this week will benefit our food committee. Please join us after Mass for coffee and donuts in the activities room. Tickets for the nuns in charge will be available after Mass in the men's club room. Please see page 3 in the bulletin for all meetings scheduled this week. Please stand and join in prayer and song.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
May the grace and peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
God is great, and your response is, in every way, God is great.
In every way.
God is great, and your response is, all the time, God is great.
All the time.
God is great.
All the time.
God is great in every
way.
Amen. That just occurred to me because of the great song we say. Welcome, everyone. A special hello to those who are with us at home. Gee, isn't it great to have our choir back? We missed you this summer. It's great to have you back singing again with us. I have an introduction to make. Deacon Andrew Vogel, can you come on up? Come up and stand on the top step here. Deacon Andrew is from the Diocese of Winona. He is finishing his studies for the priesthood at Sacred Heart Major Seminary, and he will be with us on weekends until he's ordained in May. So he's going to get to know you, and you're going to get to know him. Let's welcome Deacon Andrew Vogel. Thank you, Andrew. You're going to get to know him in the time ahead. He'll have a little opportunity later to tell a little bit about himself. But see, this first weekend, we're just giving him the time off. So he can get to know you and see how we do things and come back with us. And serve with us at Mass next weekend. God is great. There are times, I bet, this week when we didn't remember that, where we thought God was small. So we come together, strengthen one another, hear God's word, receive food from heaven. And so we begin now, as we always do, preparing ourselves for this holy task, acknowledging our sins, so that indeed we might run to the throne of grace for the mercy and help we need.
Lord Jesus, you have shown us the way to the Father. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord Jesus, you have given us the consolation of the truth. Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord Jesus, you are the good shepherd leading us into everlasting life. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to life everlasting.
Amen.
Let us pray. Father, your love for us surpasses all our hopes and desires. Forgive our failings. Keep us in your peace and lead us in the way of salvation. We ask this through Christ our Lord. At the beginning here, I want to make another set of introductions before our readings. We're going to be welcoming some new members into our Christian family today. I want to introduce them. Now you can see them as they stand up. The parents of Austin Tyler Pastula, parents of Brady Ryan Sullivan, and the parents of Jacob Donovan Fornash. Can we welcome them and all of their friends and families that are here? In just a little while, they will be reborn before your very eyes. Thank you.
A reading from the book of Genesis. The Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a suitable partner for him." So the Lord God formed out of the ground various wild animals and various birds of the air, and he brought them to the man to see what he would call them. Whatever the man called each of them would be its name. The man gave names to all the cattle, all the birds of the air, and all wild animals. But none proved to be the suitable partner for the man. So the Lord God cast a deep sleep on the man. And while he was asleep, he took out one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. The Lord God then built up into a woman the rib that he had taken from the man. When he brought her to the man said, "This one, at last, is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. This one shall be called woman. For out of her man, this one has been taken. That is why a man leaves his father and mother and clings to his wife, and the two of them become one flesh." Word of the Lord. Reading from the letter to the Hebrews. Brothers and sisters, he, for a little while, was made lower than the angels, that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting that he, for whom and through whom all things exist, in bringing many children to glory, should make the leader to their salvation perfect through suffering. He who consecrates and those who are being consecrated all have one origin. Therefore, he is not ashamed to call them brothers. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
The Pharisees approached Jesus and asked, "Is it lawful for a husband to divorce his wife?" They were testing him. He said to them in reply, "What did Moses command you?" They replied, "Moses permitted a husband to write a bill of divorce and dismiss her." But Jesus told them, "Because of the hardness of your hearts, he wrote you this commandment. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, no human being must separate." In the house, the disciples again questioned Jesus about this. He said to them, "Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery." And people were bringing children to him that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he became indignant and said to them, "Let the children come to me. Do not prevent them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Amen. I say to you, whoever does not accept the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it." Then he embraced them and blessed them, placing his hands on them. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
When I was working with college students as a campus minister in London many years ago, I remember a conversation I had with some English medical students. They considered themselves Christians, and I asked them what kind of background they received on the ethical and philosophical issues connected with controversial healthcare issues. Specifically, in this case, what did they learn about the issues surrounding abortion? They said they did not get any. They said that abortion was considered just part of basic medical care. I expressed my surprise. They were surprised that I was surprised. They weren't defensive. I was trying very hard not to be judgmental. Always a risk. From their responses, I was succeeding. They weren't responding as if I was. And since they were so little aware of the issues, they were interested in what I had to say. Early on, they conceded we were talking about a real human life. Most people, if they're honest with themselves, consider this to be self-evident. I explained that one of the most basic tenets of civilized society is the protection of innocent life. In fact, how we treat the most vulnerable and dependent is an indication of how we treasure and value our own life. It's a projection of our own feelings of worth and dignity. If we think the lives of others are expendable, then our own life has no intrinsic value. And somebody with more power than we had could legitimately choose to take our life if they found it in their best interests to do so. What I said wasn't very long. It wasn't very complicated. It was a few simple sentences. And I remember to this day my astonishment at their response. They said, gee, that makes a lot of sense to me. You might be right. We never hear anything about this issue. I wish you could come to our class and discuss this with our other medical students. We were in a nice English pub. It was late on a Friday night, and I wanted to stand on the table and shout, you don't even talk about these things? I was afraid that they might throw their beer at me. And they wanted me to come and talk to their classmates. My brothers and sisters, are you afraid to be a witness to the revolutionary truths about the importance and inherent sacredness and dignity of human life that is one of the touchstones of our Catholic faith? Today is Respect Life Sunday. For the record, it's the first time in 7 years that I've taken the option not to speak on the readings of the day, but on this special theme of respecting life. It's actually hard for me not to speak on the readings of the day. It's my instincts and my habit, but sometimes we need to talk about things I don't think we find occasion to talk about enough. Jesus told his disciples that they were the light of the world, that every human life is infinitely precious and worthy of being respected and protected, is a darkness-shattering light that we can't keep under the bushel basket. I acknowledge that we are often cowed and ridiculed and intimidated into thinking that the most fundamental of truths, that every human life is worth has an infinite value. We're ridiculed and intimidated into thinking that these most fundamental of truths are merely our own private religious opinion. And that is a vicious lie. How we respect the lives of other human beings are the measure with which we respect our own. Over 1 million lives are still, in our day, aborted in the United States every year. How do you feel about that? 1 million. What would be our indignation if terrorist bombs killed half that number? Or what if someone advocated the elimination of 1 million troublesome two-year-olds? How would that affect your vote? Or the elimination of 1 million seniors who were burdening the healthcare system with expensive medical care? What would you think about that platform? The love of God demands that we not be indifferent in the face of the silent Holocaust going on around us. Abortion is the taking of an innocent human life. It's our sacred duty to labor unceasingly to eliminate the taking of innocent human life. Don't be manipulated into silence. With compassion and gentleness and truth, you and me, we need to be witnesses to a better way. It is almost a statistical certainty that in a crowd of this size, There are women who've had abortions. You weigh heavily on my heart. Although I'm sure the devil often proposes this, it's not the unforgivable sin. There is a way back. I know many of you have gone to confession, have been right with God, and still carry that heavy burden. Small groups can be a help. But for those who have had an abortion, who carry that great guilt, and have not yet made themselves right with God, of which going to confession is an essential part, I plead with you to go. You don't know how many folks have come to me going 5, 10, 15, 20, 30 years. Every day, according to their own words, carrying this crushing guilt. And their relief at finally taking that step that frightened them silly. Their relief was so great. I would wish that relief, that peace, to anyone who needs it. I know it's hard. Your relief will make it well worth your while. You need it to get right with God. Small groups can be very helpful. We have literature in the back, Project Rachel, about talking about some of the things we don't talk about enough. But I don't just talk to the women. To men who've been instrumental in the process of procuring an abortion. You might not feel the same guilt, but I believe you bear the same guilt. In fact, I think it's common in talking with women that oftentimes the men in their lives bore a greater responsibility. They were looking oftentimes for a way to keep the child, but they were, again, manipulated and forced on the counsel of others to do something they didn't want to do. If you've been in that role, then you too need to get right with God and go to confession. Saturdays at 2:30, call me on the phone, make an appointment, talk to me after Mass, do anything you need to. I'll meet you anywhere. But it's so important. To all of us, support those ministries that advocate life, provide truthful counseling for pregnant women and help care for women and the babies they have decided to deliver. So many of those ministries are available here at St. Linus, including joining us today at 2:30 at the corner of Ford and Telegraph in Life Chain to make a witness to the truths that will transform our society when they are accepted. I want to read a little bit from a letter from Cardinal Justin Regali, the Archbishop of Philadelphia and Chairman of the United States Council of Catholic Bishops Committee on Pro-Life Activities. That's a mouthful. I'm just going to read a little bit from it, but it talks about some Respect Life Sunday, some pro-life aspects to what's currently the talk of the country, which is health care reform. Have you heard that we're having a discussion about health care? It's really confusing, isn't it? But these are some issues that I think we need to be aware of and speak to and pray for. I quote, in the current debate over health care reform, it's become evident, unborn children remain the persons whose lives are most at risk in America. Over 1 million children die each year in abortion facilities. Thankfully, Congress in most states acted to prevent public funding of abortions. Yet, despite the opposition of 60% of Americans to tax-funded abortion, and hear this, all current health care proposals being considered by Congress would allow or mandate abortion funding, either through premiums paid into government programs or out of federal revenues. It bears repeating. Abortion, the direct intentional killing of an unborn girl or boy, is not health care. Since the advent of widespread contraception and abortion, a cultural hostility to children has grown. They are often depicted as costly encumbrances who interfere with a carefree adult life. No fewer than 6 recent books are dedicated to defending the childless by choice lifestyle. In fact, if married couples were to have more children, Medicare and Social Security would not be hurtling towards bankruptcy. Since 1955, because of fewer children and longer lifespans, the number of workers has declined relative to the number of beneficiaries from 8.6 to 3.1 workers paying benefits to support each beneficiary. Without substantially more young people to enter the workforce as young adults, in 25 years there will only be a 2.1 workers supporting each beneficiary, 2.1 versus 8.1 in the 50s. Eliminating our young does not solve problems even on pragmatic grounds. It adds to them. To these issues, I would also add the importance of protecting the right of conscience for healthcare workers. With much of the legislation, they're at risk now of either needing to violate their conscience by violating life or losing their jobs. They need to have a conscientious objection clause. Remember these words of Jesus. You are the salt of the earth. If salt loses its taste, Jesus says, what good is it? The light of these truths, protecting life, the inherent dignity of every human life, the light of these truths demand that we lift them high, be proud witnesses, so the light can shine forth and all can see the truths that God has written throughout human life. Thank you.